Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Very often, a general complaint about preaching, Lutheran preaching in particular, is that it is too theological, too much about ideas, too abstract. So today, Jesus is incredibly practical, but in a way that most people would not want to hear. The freedom, the ease at which Jesus speaks and condemns the love of money and the damnable, idolatrous serving of money shows how little reverence money actually deserves. Which, of course, is almost sacrilegious for the unbelieving world and its devotion to mammon or money. But our Lord Jesus teaches often about money, about mammon, wealth, power, influence, the pleasures, leisures of life, and entertainments of life, everything that money can get you. So it sounds practical. And yet what Jesus teaches today is something immensely spiritual. He lays out before us two separate and very different ways. A wise way, that is a life in the kingdom of God, versus a very foolish way of death in the kingdoms and ways of this world. And yet he doesn't just point this out as ways to be traveled by us independent parties picking and choosing as we go along our way. No, these become masters to creatures who must serve only one of them and despise or hate the other. Any honest evaluation of yourself in relation to Jesus' teaching about money should indeed level you out and lay you low. For our entire culture, our entire society, our nation, our world are set up in a foolish way of death. Pursuing mammon, devoting ourselves to money and mammon, spending time, energy, effort, everything on it, as if we who can't determine our future think somehow foolishly that we can control the future still. But it is absolute, utter foolishness. That is what most of our actions regarding money actually are. And yet it's not some trivial thing. Jesus teaches that this is not just foolish, but it is deadly foolishness. If you remember from the scriptures, the rich young man was told by Jesus, in order to follow him, he must give up everything he had. He had much, and he went away in sadness because he couldn't give it up. You can't serve both. The rich young man chose foolish and fleeting money over Jesus. The man who Jesus teaches about, who had much and he reaped large harvest, decided he would build bigger barns to store more, to buy bigger houses or storage buildings, to manage all that he was heaping up for himself. And then he died. And his devotion to mammon made him a dead fool. The one who is like the ground with weeds and so forth hears the sermon, takes it in, but as soon as that seed begins to grow, the cares and the concerns of this world choke out the seed. Such is the one who lets the cares and concerns of this world deprive him of the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The ones who are unprepared for our Lord's return are those who are described as those being weighed down with the worries and the cares and the concerns of this world. The ones who do not attend to their souls through attending to the Lord's visitation by grace through his church. who did not attend church, who did not hear his word, who did not live a life of prayer and love for others. No. Foolishly, the coming of the Lord will catch them unprepared because they spent their time, energy, and effort and money preparing for a future that was filled with lots of stuff instead. You can't serve God and money. If you think you can, just go ahead and call Jesus outright a liar, because that's what he says. And if you want to call Jesus a liar, then you are indeed a fool. That deadly way of mammon, it is marked by a worship and a prayer life of its own. Its worship and its prayers is called anxiety or worry. This is not only the personal experience of anxiety or worry, but it involves the whole organizing of the world and the life around it. That the way of death that the world tries to live for itself is marked with anxiety, cares for tomorrow and the future. That mammon is indeed the master, but anxiety becomes the chief worship and the chief form of slavery to the master. That anxiety then is what keeps the unbelieving world going from day to day, care about the future that is so great that it overshadows even the present. That anxiety is what happens when limited creatures try to control things which they have no power over. That if you know you can't manage the future, and of course, deep down, most people do know this, and yet you still try to control the future, anxiety is going to be the result. The evil devotion to mammon and the cares and the concerns of this world. That this is what makes the world of the Gentiles so eagerly seek after the things of the world, things of food and clothing, drink, success, and all the rest. This is what causes them to become so anxious about how they are going to live that they never actually live. But Jesus, our Lord, invites you to another way of life, a new world, the kingdom of God. That is a way that begins with repentance. Repentance from following this foolish master mammon and its worship and anxiety of anxiety in the way of death. That the kingdom of God, Jesus teaches us, has a future because it is a kingdom ruled by the God who actually has authority and complete control over the future. That kingdom of God has come among you. It is here now, and yet it will be fully coming finally on the last day. That kingdom and its God, the true God who has revealed himself as the triune God, is not a kingdom that receives the worship of anxiety, but it is a kingdom that receives the worship of trust, of faith. It's a kingdom then that regards the love of God and the love of the neighbor as chief things in this earthly life, rather than selfishly piling up whatever will eventually be gone. It is a kingdom, then, which teaches not only this great good of good works, but it is also a kingdom that takes the proper view of these earthly endeavors of mammon. That we, as members of the kingdom of God, should have a right attitude towards earthly wealth and the great harm that comes by greed. That it's both the heavenly focus of our God, what he has done, what is the future, but also then the rejection of the world's ways. That to serve God, you must do as Jesus has said. You should hate mammon. Jesus gives a couple commands in the gospel lesson today. It's a command then for believers to follow. He says, look at the birds of the air. Look at the lilies of the grass of the field. That Jesus is commanding you. He's telling you, look at these things, to go and look and consider birds. They don't worry. They don't devote themselves to mammon. They aren't anxious about anything. God takes care of them. Grass doesn't do any of that either. And God takes care of the grass. And Jesus rightly then says, aren't you worth more than that? Well, of course you are. Even the most simple reading of the creation account in Genesis shows the value of mankind against the rest of creation. Yet it is this simple animal and plant life that Jesus points out, meant to teach you as complex creatures about a way of life that is trusting in God rather than the anxiety-filled worship of mammon. That you are, as Jesus commands, to let the birds and the grass preach to you. Because the kingdom of God is an amazing thing. It often turns things on their head according to earthly wisdom. It is established for all time, and its king is crowned in his greatest weakness, in dying on a cursed tree of the cross. Its strength is best shown in weakness. That in the kingdom of God, we can only be guaranteed sufficient goods if we renounce hoarding and greed. That in this kingdom we know we can have food and clothing if we seek something else other than food and clothing. In this kingdom we cling to a master who is despised and rejected, crucified. In this kingdom we can only find life if we first lose it. But that is the wisdom of the kingdom of God. Wisdom that the world would call foolishness. But as time keeps going, the world doesn't know what it's doing. It has no power and no authority to even determine one thing tomorrow apart from God. But that's what Christ puts before you today. The way of the kingdom of God and his righteousness. A kingdom of rule by the God who can actually rule over all things, including tomorrow. A kingdom then with you covered with the righteousness, not of personal success or accomplishment or piling up for yourself, but with the righteousness that Christ has provided by himself. A righteousness that is complete, perfect, bestowed upon all those who live not by worry, but by faith. A kingdom that is yours by baptism, where Christ was indeed made your master, and where mammon was renounced along with the devil and all his other ways of false worship and fake living unto eternal death. That for you, devotion to mammon, shown by your worry, shown by your devotion to gaining more and hoarding up more and wanting more, for your false prayers of anxiety, for your orientating your life not to the kingdom of God and his righteousness, but for all your orienting your life towards bondage to mammon. That is what Christ came and died for. That you wouldn't have such an evil master, but one who suffered and died for you instead. That he is a jealous God who will not share you with such harmful things, harmful to you both now and eternally. That he is a God who loves, and his love means mercy and forgiveness for your devotion and idolatry and devotion and worship of a false God. And this is what the church has been created for. That it's Christ's own place for the forgiveness of sins to come to you. a place where the kingdom of God and his righteousness is preached to you and indeed comes to you. That in the church, then, we learn the proper attitude towards mammon. In it, we learn to regard wealth rightly and seek to use it when we are given it to do something eternally good. In it, we learn a way of life that is drastically different than the lessons that the world teaches us, very different than the lessons our flesh would teach us. And so offerings come about. And I'm going to speak very plainly, and I'm speaking about it during the sermon so that all of you can hear it instead of just the people during Bible study. There's always more room for people in Bible study, by the way. That if you are receiving an income, if you have been given time and energy to use, you should be supporting the work of the church with a gift that is a proportion of what God gives you in your time, talent, and treasure. But the scriptures do not exactly prescribe how much. However, if you look in the Old Testament, 10% was their starting point. But maybe consider it in light of the teaching of Jesus today about mammon and the cares of this life. And also the fact that this is the one place where Christ comes to you with his forgiveness to care for your sin-sick soul, where he comes to you and points out your idols rather than affirming you and supporting you in them. It is in this place where you then are taught and thus must share all good things with the ones who teach you. In this place that others, your neighbors, find the same gifts given to them, that you might bear with one another in love. That St. Paul, in his epistle lesson today, adds the warning that about someone who does not give, who doesn't want to give generously, he says, God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, you will reap. That greed and mammon worship, sowing to your own flesh, will reap the corruption and death that comes with them. But sowing to the Spirit, that is living by faith and trust in Jesus, faith then that is evident in using what you've been given by God for the kingdom of God, giving in such a way as to discipline your greedy flesh, well, this shall reap also accordingly. That if the thought of giving generously, that is giving more and more from what God himself has given to you, if pondering that, if considering that hurts, if it offends you or it makes you angry or it makes you worry, it is showing your flesh's desire, your sinful flesh's desire to make mammon again your harsh master and you its slave all over again. That you have not been bought by Christ's shed blood for such things. That your freedom from such cares is found. It is really there in Christ and his kingdom. That like birds and grass, you can live with a trust that God has you. And God will indeed provide for you. And God himself has proven it to you each and every day of your life, right up to now, hasn't he? See, Christ cares enough about you to speak to you so plainly about money and the dangers that it brings. You can't serve money and Jesus. You can only love one, and you will have to hate the other. That Christ's care is so clear in what he has said and what you know he has done for you. That's his kingdom and his righteousness. Seek that. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.